Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
To escape, the city was sticky and cruel. Maybe I should have called you first, but I was dying to get to you.
Welcome to the show. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia. Wow, the U.S. is in the thick of it now. You just heard what Joe Biden had to say, really name-calling the president, and then you heard the president, what he had to say about the U.S., Syria, and, of course, wanting full withdrawal of troops from northern Syria. So there's been a major, major shift there, and a shift in attitudes across the country. Some staunch Republicans actually are bailing on the press, at least on this issue. Certainly, we're seeing that a little bit on the Hill, but in the nooks and crannies, some of that, I'm getting a few emails where it's either, it's typical pro or con, but not in a Democratic point of view. I always say on this show, I don't care if you're left of left or right of right or somewhere in between, or you don't even label yourself. It doesn't matter. It's about the conversation and having the conversation, and thank goodness we can have it right on these airwaves. And it's pretty much split down the middle. There are people that are furious with the prez, and especially with these reports that now, of course, we're starting to see, which the, are they accurate? You know, maybe. And this isn't great if they're accurate, but hundreds of ISIS supporters supposedly escaped from a holding camp in northern Syria on Sunday because of the heavy clashes between the Turkish-led forces and the Kurd fighters. And the president ordering U.S. troops to withdraw from the north to avoid getting caught in the middle of that skirmish. Is there going to be chaos in Syria? There is chaos in Syria, and there has been chaos in Syria, but it's going to be the chaos in Syria that's going to leave us vulnerable and others to ISIS thugs who could care less about human life. A U.S. military official I saw quoted today said that the situation was deteriorating rapidly and didn't give a lot of details, but just said, you know, there's it's scary. There could be danger to American forces, and certainly we saw that a couple of days ago when a small number of U.S. troops came under Turkish artillery fire at an observation post in the north. And that's the whole idea. If we're out, we're out, and we can't have troops lollygagging trying to help or hanging back. Luckily, no Americans were hurt, but pretty scary to look at that. In fact, the U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said over the weekend, we have American forces likely caught between two opposing advancing armies, and it's an untenable situation. If you take anything away from this show, untenable is a very, very scary thing to hear, especially for anyone who, for anybody who's serving. And if you have somebody who's serving and they're caught in that, wow, just unbelievable. Not something that we want to see. Certainly not. Meanwhile, impeachment. It's the word all of a sudden we keep hearing over and over and over and over again. Somebody said to me today, okay, handicap it for us. What do you think happens? Because, of course, we always want to know the outcome, right? What do you think the odds are? And what would you give the odds for the president being impeached if this was a number on a board in Vegas? Such an impossible thing for me to do. But I'm going to say I don't see it. I don't know the whistleblower, and I see the problems with the whistleblower in the identity thing, so they're trying to, and I agree with that, they're trying to protect their identity, okay, but what do they have that will just blow our shoes off? And when you go down this impeachment road, it has to be solid. has to be solid, has to be. I mean, that's the bottom line. So we'll see where we stand after we hear what the whistleblower has to say, because until then, there's plenty of speculation, and some of it looks really terrible. But then you have the whole thing with Joe Biden freaking out and his son Hunter, and Joe Biden saying he didn't consult with his son about his decision to resign from the board of a Chinese-backed private equity company, because that's what he decided to do, because there was so much controversy over that. So, I mean, it's like a tornado that just keeps coming back and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and, you know, and bigger. And where it ends up, we have no idea where it ends up. You know, that's the thing. We have to hear what the whistleblower has to say. You know, they say patience is a virtue, but when you keep reading the same thing over and over again, and even in calls that I've made, because honestly, I have contacts at the Pentagon and other places, there's not much to tell, because people are trying to figure out who the person is, and that's it, and trying to figure out what the angle is, what's happened, how was it third hand information, was it that's not true, it was something deeper than that. I mean, you know, this just constant speculating, constant. All right, one thing that is super sad, and you know, we talk about the weather and the effects of horrific weather, and in California, if it's not the mudslides, if it's not no rain and then torrential rain, we're talking about the Santa Ana winds, and we're talking about California being on fire, and we're seeing those video clips again of people in California being evacuated. In fact, coming up next, we're going to talk to a fireman I had a chance to talk to months ago, Joe Margolino, and boy, he saw some pretty horrific things, and he talks about it. And I just have to say that people who volunteer in the fire department are brave souls. It's one of the most dangerous things you can do, but it's one of the most heroic. Do you know anyone that was pulled from a fire? I know people that were pulled from fires. I know people who at the last second had their lives saved, and it will make the hair on your arms stand up when you hear Joe's story. But we certainly don't want that to happen to anybody in California that's experiencing what's going on with the Santa Ana winds, and who knows, you know, what direction. All of a sudden it picks up in one way, and then it picks up in another direction, and you're you know, in the middle of it, and before you know it, you're scrambling to get out of your development. The key thing is the time factor, and people really taking to heart the evacuations, right? And not just saying, okay, I'm going to try to weather this. And in Fort Worth, Texas, controversy. You've got a black woman who was fatally shot by a cop in her home after playing video games with her nephew. People are outraged. There was a door that was open. Police were investigating it. And this is just the Cliff Note version. But from what we know, an officer shot through the window. The bullet hit her and killed her. And this was a white officer who had been on the force for about 18 months. And, you know, it's another one of those situations where they went to the house, and again, we saw what happened with Amber Geiger, so people are enraged. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Oh. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Joining us now on the show is Joseph Margolino, and he's written a book that's called The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Joe and I had a chance to catch up before he joined us on the air, and oh my gosh, his story is so fascinating. We could probably talk for hours, but we don't have that much time, so we want to jump into the meat of this. So Joe, tell us about The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. It's about the Bronx, isn't it?
It was in South Bronx. They were trying to burn it down, and there was a change in clientele, and the welfare moved in, and we got a lot of fires. And also, there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down.
Wow, a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. For people listening to us, and plenty of people on the East Coast or people who have family from the Bronx and remember those times. And I should say, you were a fireman, so you were there on the front lines, right?
That's right, that's right. For 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. And what did your comrades say? What did the rest of the guys say about what was happening around you?
Well, in the beginning, we were all young and full of pep and vinegar, and we accepted it. We loved fire. But then it got really out of hand. We were getting 2 and 3 good fires a night. It was really bad.
Wow. And putting out those fires, how strenuous was that? I mean, it must have stressed you out.
Yes.
Because you were stretched thin, right?
Right, right. Like I said, we got 2 or 3 good fires a night, and they sometimes took an hour or two to put out each one.
You said there was a master plan to burn the South Bronx down. Why was that? Because of how awful it had gotten?
No, it's there was no real estate left, and they wanted to, like, build the Bronx up. And there was nothing but tenements down there. And they were getting rid of the tenements.
Wow. And so, sure, it was odd that you kept having all of these fires, et cetera. And if you go back to that time, you know, the equipment was different. The amount of manpower was different. What was a typical crew like to put out all these fires, like the title of your book said, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death? What would a typical day or night be like fighting those fires?
Well, we were going out sometimes 20 times a night on calls. And alongside of that, we were fighting two good fires a night. So it was hell. Believe me, it was hell.
Wow. And you tell me a story that I think is, people don't realize, I think, what it's like to be a fireman, where you're not only at the front lines of the fire, your own life could be taken, but that sometimes people, you save them and it's an amazing thing, and sometimes there's nothing you can do and they expire in your arms, right? You told me a story about that. You had a woman that you tried to rescue and she just expired right there in your arms, right?
Yes, I took her out of a plane crash. And they gave it to me, and her eye was out of her socket. It was on her cheek, and she was in my arms, and I was taking it to the ambulance, and I could feel the blood just rolling in her chest, and she died in my arms. She drowned in her own blood.
Wow. When you're in that kind of situation, how do you deal with that mentally? That's got to be taxing.
Well, when I first started the fire department, all I thought of was fighting fires, but there was so much death, I almost quit. But you just had to put your mind to a certain state and get tough. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it. You couldn't make it. It was too much death.
Wow. Wow. And the ages, the average ages of the guys that were on the front lines with you, Joe, how old were they?
Well, when we started, we were in the 20s. And they lasted till maybe 40 years old. And a lot of them died before their time. We was taking in so much toxic fumes.
Wow.
And hundreds of them were injured, hundreds.
Hundreds.
The fires, this was going on between the mid-60s and the late 70s. So hundreds of firemen were hurt.
Wow. And the name of the book is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. Make sure that you pick it up at Amazon.com. What do you really hope people take away from reading your book, Joe?
I want them to know, well, a lot of them, the relatives don't even know what their relatives went through, like their husbands and et cetera, et cetera. And I want them to see what was really going on and what these poor people, these firefighters were going through. And also tens of thousands of people relocated. So it was hard on them also.
Right. So because of everything that was happening, people that didn't want to move or couldn't really have the means to move were forced to do that, is what you're saying, right?
Right. The Red Cross relocated a lot of people, yes.
Wow. And now when you think of your legacy and being a fireman and everything that happened there, and you see where the Bronx is now, what would you say?
I just say I would want the boys, the men, to be very, very careful, because they used to put booby traps out just to kill us.
Oh.
So they cut holes in the floor when you open the door. And if you didn't, but weren't careful, they cover it with linoleum so you couldn't see what was happening. You'd walk in and you go down two flights. So you always don't fools rush in, so take your time.
Fools rush in. When you had your training, so that brings that up for people listening, and I can just imagine they're trying to envision this. And as you said, booby traps and other things that you had to be aware of. When you encountered new things, I would imagine you just shared that with each other. But did you get any kind of training like that when you were in school, in fire school?
No, ma'am. We were trained to fight fires. Our main thing was lives and property. First thing we do was go for rescue. But we would, at that time, there was nothing like that. They were cutting fire escapes. That if we grab onto a fire escape, we go down about five stories.
Ooh.
It was, they couldn't have trained you for that. There was no way. But then as time went on, you know, the word of mouth through the firemen, we were very, very cautious.
Yeah, thank goodness. And that's that camaraderie.
Right.
So we talked about the sad story of the woman who died as you were trying to get her to the ambulance. But tell us a rescue story, a good story that made you feel good at that you were able to save someone, help someone.
Oh, well, I broke down the door and there was an elderly lady laying on a couch and she was an invalid. and she must have fell asleep with a cigarette. And I no sooner picked her up than the couch torched up. Otherwise, she would have burned right in front of me.
Wow. Wow. And the toll that this has taken on your life physically, what happens to you after you've done this kind of work?
Well, I got buried alive even when I first started. And right now I'm a quadriplegic. I can't move. I just can't move.
Wow. Wow, Joe, all that dedication and fighting in a really rough, rough time. And the book, again, is The Forgotten War, Fire and Death. And you told me, you left me a message about you're raising money. Tell us about that.
Yes, I would like to, if any chance, like Hollywood or somebody would pick it up, I would donate $250,000 if I could. And I'd give it to St. Jude's and the city for those little babies that are dying of cancer.
Yeah, so, so sad. What do you think, and when you look at this, what do you think of, because I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and obviously
right.
You were there too. What did, and you saw the loss of the firemen there, what did that feel like to you? I thought that was just awful.
Oh, it takes a heart. See, at that time, I was going through post-traumatic stress, and it really, really helped. It killed me. It ripped the heart out of me. When the planes hit the building, I knew exactly how many boys died. I mean, not that did it. But I said to myself, over 200 boys died there. It's a fireman going up the staircase with no, they shut the electricity, but they were going up, and I could see the face in the fireman. That, you know, just the idea that they were going to have to climb 70 flights of stairs to get upstairs, you know. And they were worn out before they even started. And to see all those men die and people jumping out of windows 70 stories high, my God, because you have no chance because the heat was so great. It was like 2,000 degrees. The skin was melting on your body. It was bad. It was bad. It was so good.
Yeah, people didn't realize. I mean, they could just see it from afar, the horror of that day. But I really felt for the fire crew, too, and having so many volunteer firemen in my family's life, in my life.
I really have a lot of respect for volunteer firemen because they go out. They're not good. Well, nowadays they get some kind of money up for medical. But when I was young, they didn't get anything. If they got hurt, it was theirs. And another thing is they go out and they fight a fire during the night, and then during the morning they go to their regular job. And I really, really have great respect for volunteer firemen.
Boy, no kidding. Well, we have great respect for you, Joe, for everything that you've sacrificed, and I'm glad you're shining a light on this. Pick up his book, The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, at Amazon.com.
There was also, on YouTube, I got a trailer, and it shows you what was going on. It's The Forgotten War, Fire and Death, and then the trailer comes on. Or you could just put Joseph F. Maraglino. It's a trailer. It shows you what was happening.
What happened, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And be safe, please.
Getting killed like this.
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In northern Syria, there are raging firefights. Kurdish officials who say they've been abandoned by the United States in the face of a Turkish invasion have announced a deal with the Syrian government to deploy troops along the country's entire northern border. The Kurds say Syrian troops will liberate areas that have been captured by the Turkish army. Defense Secretary Mark Esper on CBS's Face the Nation.
We have American forces likely caught between two opposing advancing armies, and it's a very untenable situation.
Cooler weather and higher humidity are helping firefighters against the California wildfire that scorched the San Fernando Valley hills and forced thousands to evacuate. The blaze has burned 12 square miles, damaged or destroyed 32 structures, and is now just over 41% contained. This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
He's in our virtual green room right now, Gary Burnison, CEO of Korn Ferry. And the book, the newest book that he's written, because he's written a bunch, Lose the Resume, Land the Job. Gary, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to talk to you.
So resumes, getting jobs, that makes sense to me, but why specifically writing a book about resumes?
You know, people are, you know, clueless when it comes to planning their career. I hate to say that, but people think that resume is 90% of it, when in fact it's only 10%. And I've seen it from college graduates to the Fortune 100 boardroom.
And so when you say the resume is so little part of actually getting a job, why is it that we think it's so important? How did we get that misperception into our heads?
It's like, let's do lunch. I mean, it's, look, you have to have the resume. You know, I'm not saying you absolutely have to have the resume, but if you think that that is going to get it done, you just as well go down to 7-Eleven and buy a lottery ticket. I would suggest there are a lot of other things that you need to do along with a great resume.
All right, so tell us about some of those things for people listening that they need to do that they're not doing now because maybe they're one of the clueless.
So if they're the clueless like me, remember when you were a kid, when you got your first job, what did you do? you went down to the grocery store, you went down to the bike shop, the ice cream shop, and somebody probably told you, a friend told you, hey, that's a great place to work. And so you went down there and filled out an application. So in other words, you targeted the place you wanted to work. And so why is it, you know, 20, 30, 50 years later, people forget that basic principle? So the essence of the book is not only how you plan your career, but it's around targeting, proactively targeting, taking control of your career. So the first thing that I would do is not the resume. I would start with purpose. I would start with passion. What makes you happy? Because guess what? If you're happy in what you're doing, you're probably going to wake up without the alarm clock. And you're also, if you're happy, you're going to be motivated. And if you're motivated, you're going to outperform.
So, Gary, it's really interesting to hear you talk about, well, we're starting with the conversation about resumes because the book is called Lose the Resume, Land the Job, but you're actually elevating the conversation to an entirely higher plane, which is talking about things like purpose. And one of the things for many people I think will be hard to get their heads around is the idea that you mean I can control my career instead of the marketplace or an employer controlling my career for me?
You absolutely can. I mean, I've done it myself. But I do believe that it has to start with, you know, what really excites you. Now, look, money, everybody's got to have a job. So I'm not suggesting, you know, to go someplace and go to the forest and, you know, sing to the trees and see what comes back. You know, I am very practical. But I'll tell you that there's a high correlation between performance and whether you're motivated. And the other thing that people, you know, ignore is at Korn Ferry, what we've proven through research is the number one predictor of success is curiosity. It's learning agility, knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. That's the number one predictor of CEO success. So this concept of growing and learning is totally lost. So you go to the resume and you forget, like you forget who your boss is going to be, and you also don't take into account, you know, are you actually going to learn?
Yeah, wow. It's interesting. I totally agree with you, by the way, when you say curiosity number one. Boy, you so nailed it, but I think you know that you nailed it. So when you talk about curiosity, you look at things like LinkedIn. So how does all that fit in? What about LinkedIn?
Well, so you've got to have, you know, a social media strategy, no doubt about it. But I'll tell you, the Internet has actually made it harder for people to find a job, not easier. And the reason why is because anybody can apply. You know, when I was raised in a small town in Kansas, what'd you do? You went to the paper, there were job ads, and it was pretty simple. It was people from that town that were applying. But now, anybody can apply for anything. So companies are inundated with hundreds of resumes. I mean, for the average corporate opening, a company is going to get 250 resumes.
Wow.
And that's mind-boggling. And guess what? And you know, only two people are actually going to get interviewed. I mean, the statistics are daunting. So what you have to do is you need to find your purpose, and you need to proactively target where you want to work. And you can use social media to do the whole 6 degrees of separation thing to get a warm introduction.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, Gary. We're talking with Gary Burnison. He's the CEO of Korn Ferry and also the author of the new book, Lose the Resume, Land the Job. The website for the book is losetheresume.com. I've got a copy of it right here. I've already told five. So as people know, there's a lot of layoffs going on around the country. I have friends that are getting laid off, and I've been telling them about your book, and I've been hearing rave reviews back. So thank you for writing it, and I'm really glad to get to talk to you. It's interesting to hear you talk about the whole idea of targeting where you want to work, combined with the idea of curiosity and proving what you're interested in and what you can do. And to go back to Kate's question about LinkedIn, I think the people who I admire the most in the workplace are the people who are using LinkedIn not just to troll other people to find out about jobs, but who are actively posting there to create, in a sense, a showcase or a portfolio for themselves of how they're smart and how they're curious. Because I would assume that in your position and in the position of the people you work with, when you're looking at a candidate and you've narrowed it down from the 250 to the 2, or the 250 to the 10 to pick the 2, one of the first places you're going to go is to see what they're doing and what they have to say on LinkedIn. Am I right about that?
You're totally right. And let me tell you one other thing. So that is the first, the very first thing we do, we go on social media. So there's a candidate and we type the name into Google. We start looking at images. We look at videos.
Oh, not images. Tell me you don't look at images.
We look at everything. I mean, look, it's just, it's reality, right? And so, you know, when it comes to social media, I agree with what you're saying, but remember one thing, you know, play defense before you play offense. Mm. In other words, what happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. And, you know, one of my daughters, oldest daughter, 25, third full-time job, was going on an interview the next, it was Sunday night, 9:30, sitting on the couch, going in for an interview for the next day. Type in her name, and what pops up? Okay, well, she's orange hair, a nose ring. I don't have a problem with a nose ring. And there's Mardi Gras beads. And I'm like, is this really the first image? Now, it may very well be that's who the person is. But you have to really think about the fact that nothing is ever private. And so, you know, employers actually do check those kinds of things.
Yeah, you know what? I love your examples. They're excellent examples, Gary. For me, Greg knows this, besides speaking into a microphone and doing a syndicated show, I'm a professional speaker, and LinkedIn has been my baby because of what you said. I'm posting the things I'm learning and showing those shots or videos of where I am, but it's not about me. Hey, here I am again. It's about what I've learned from the people, and that's led to so many more jobs for me because that's how companies are finding me. So it's about taking the time to really learn how to use the social media correctly, right?
It is. And, you know, the other thing is what you're really talking about is networking. And most people don't, when they think of networking, what do you think? Well, you think of somebody aggressive or this, you know, selling knives at a state fair. You know, a charismatic person. It's actually not. The first principle of networking is that it's about the other person. So if you have the mindset of doing something kind for another person, over time, you will build up an incredible network. And the second mistake is people do just-in-time networking rather than, you know, like what you're doing, which is essentially networking, but it's a long game. And, you know, networking is part of your career, and it's part of building your career, but you have to think about it in the long haul, and you have to think of, you know, doing something kind for somebody else because that'll build your network.
I'm so glad you said that, Gary, because it's funny, that was the hardest business lesson for me to learn, that I'm a connecting person and I like people, but I wasn't doing that in my pursuit of what I was looking for, especially speaking, until I learned that, because it is about the long game. That word is, I think, so critical, because we live in a you know, ultimate, quickly give it to me, we want the instant gratification, but it doesn't work that way if you truly are digging deeper, does it?
It doesn't. You know, I'll tell you a story. I worked with somebody, not closely, but you know, many years ago, I knew this individual. Come to find out, he went to prison. And, well, what happened? 15 years later, after I had worked with him, I get a email out of the blue. And it was from this individual. And guess what he wanted? He wanted a job. And look, I don't have any problem with it. He served, you know, the time for the crime. I don't have any issue. But, you know, what am I going to do with somebody that's just pinging me after 15 years? And I barely knew the person 15 years ago, right? And that's just not the way to do it. And it's the same thing with resumes. People just sit there and blindly send resumes into companies. They're not going to get opened.
Nope, nope. Perfect place to end this. We want to continue the conversation on another segment. Gary Burnison, CEO, Korn Ferry, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at HBExtract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. HBExtract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot.
It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude, put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Right now, for this edition of Author's Corner, is Renata Schalk Schreiner. She has written an interesting book. It's a children's book, but I argue that adults could read it and enjoy it as well. Undersea Adventures of Ollie and Friends is the name, and it's so clever. Renata, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, of course. I'm honored to do that.
Thank you. So tell me about your book. First of all, why did you write the book?
Well, I never intended to write a book, but as it turned out, a good friend has an email, and that contains an O and a Y, O for octopus and Y for yo-yo. When she told me about that, I said, oh, I can see it now. Ollie the octopus is playing with eight yo-yos, and he gets tangled up and has to ask for help. And then she said, go home and write a story. since I'm a writer for 10 years with the group, it didn't seem strange to her. So I went home, sat at the computer, and the words just came. And they came in rhyming form, like my mom used to do. I think I inherited that from her. But anyhow, when I was finally done, 21 poems came out, 16 in the story. When I read some of those, they were a little different at the time I edited. And everybody that heard them said, you have to publish this. This is great. Children will love it. So I thought, well, before my 80th birthday, I'm going to do something about it, which I did. And I went to Author House and published with them. And now everybody that sees the book loves it. And my cousin in Germany, Udo, he created the illustrations for it, and they are just lovely. And they are so different than other illustrations, and everybody just enjoys them, especially the kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. The illustrations are powerful, and for people listening, because we know it, we're in the season where it's gift-giving, and you're looking for kids and books were always very big in my life, Renata. We would go to fairs, etc., and so children's books are huge. Did you ever think growing up that someday you would write a book, you would do a children's book?
Are you kidding? Never in my life. Never. I love them. Since I've been a teacher for all my life, I loved the reading books to children, and I loved good children's books. And when this came up, of course, then when I started with Ali, I said, well, since I've been a teacher, Ali has to go to school, and he has to find out from his classmates, the guppies, that school is really cool, and he loves and adores this teacher, who is a mermaid, and she is King Neptune's oldest daughter. And so they have adventures together, and many of them, and meet many friends, different kinds of friends, and it didn't matter who they are, what they looked like, what size they were, how they walked, this. He just loved to make friends.
Yep, I love that story about friends, because that's what I said. You can pick up the book on Amazon. It's Undersea Adventures of Ollie and Friends. How important are friends?
Oh, I could see that firsthand all the time when I was teaching, because they are so important. And, you know, children usually don't make a difference. What color they are, what size they are, what shape they are, how they dress, how they talk. Even if they can't understand each other, they can be good friends. And eventually, you know, then the language is learned, the new language, and so which Ali has to learn too, they get along just fine. I have many different friends, and I don't care what they look like, and why should I? Because they're all human beings. They're all worth of other people's friendship. And so they can learn that from the book Undersea and bring it up above the sea and have their friends. And to me, it's very important. And, you know, when they read the book, the children, or when they are read to, the children can learn right along with Ali different things. And for actual facts, and that Ali has to learn, and like that he has ink in his body, and people and the animals have different feet or fins, and communication, like the different languages, and politeness, and love for animals and for all life. To me, that is so important. And in this case, especially the ocean.
I agree, and I think part of that goes to your background, because we are what we know and how we grow up. Just tell the listeners briefly, because it's fascinating what your family had to do, how you grew up, and then how you ultimately came to the United States.
Well, I was born in a place in Germany that was called East Prussia. Well, my dad died in Russia. In 42 and in 45, we fled from there because the Russians were coming and invading, and we went to the West. And after World War II, East Prussia was divided between Russia and Poland. And my home was in what is now Poland, and it's a beautiful country. And then I grew up in the West and became a kindergarten teacher, taught there for a while, and then I immigrated to the United States in 64, and I was a domestic servant for a while because they paid for my trip over, and then I went back to teaching and became a Montessori teacher in Wisconsin and worked there for 20 years until I got married, and I went and moved to Hawaii and took there for a while, and then moved eventually to the Napa Valley where I am now.
And again, we're speaking with Renata Shaw-Treiner, and in talking about your childhood, because this is fascinating, that history, do you remember what it was like fleeing?
Oh, do I remember? I was 6 when we did that. Of course I do. I remember my, for instance, it took us about a year to get to the West, and Grandma, Mom, and my little sister were together, and we always had to see that people could give us a room someplace, or maybe some food. And I know my grandma, she was crying when she saw my little sister and me fighting with the foods for the Slav, for the pigs, for food, the Slav, because we were hungry. There was nothing to eat, and not everybody was kind enough to give us something. But I do remember. I don't remember my father because he was in the war, and I don't remember him. I have pictures of the two of us, but that's about it. Yeah, my sister,
wow.
Of course, doesn't remember because she was younger than I am, but I remember enough, and it comes up once in a while when we talk, especially with my friends here, my German friends, who went through the same thing or even worse, and it's something I'd like to keep in the background.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It does come up once in a while,
yeah.
You know.
But it goes to you and your adventures and everything you said that's phenomenal, how your life has turned out, and then how you're giving back in a sense in writing this book, The Undersea Adventures of Ollie and Friends, because you said it, what you want children to take away from it and how children are, they're not looking at languages and shapes and colors, and isn't that wonderful?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
No. And you know, that one of the things, that's one of the last story is that how Ollie, well, the teacher actually started that, he's just really worried about what their home, the ocean, is going to look, becoming, to look like, because people throw the trash in it and they don't seem to care. And so she says to her class, can you help me? Can we do something about it? Of course, they're all in there. And, you know, they learn, they clean the ocean, well, their part there, and have a big pile of garbage on the beach, and Ollie writes a note with his ink in the body to the humans, keep the ocean clean, this is our home, and, you know, they are so disrespectful to us, and when children get this message early enough, you're driving home the point, and then they are small. You know, they soak everything up like a sponge, and it's much easier to get them for the mutual respect of our planet than when they are teenagers. By that time, they're interested in different things.
Right, right. So, and message is there when you're right, when they're younger. They stick. There's no question about it. Well, I think it's a phenomenal book. The illustrations, as you mentioned, are incredible, and that's part of that journey. And like I mentioned before, we're coming up on the holidays, so it's perfect to feature you here on this version of Author's House. And again, Renata Shaw-Treiner, thank you so much. Pick up Undersea Adventures of Ollie and Friends.
I really would appreciate that, and I know you will enjoy it, because everybody else who bought a book from me already does. That's all I ever hear.
Well, thank you. We wish you the best with the book, and thanks for listening to this version of this show, everybody.
Well, thank you so very much.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.